T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Oh, today is going to be a good day. Brewers fans, they just announced this. You'll be able to watch the Brewers today on Facebook and their website. They have an inter-squad scrimmage, but it's a situational scrimmage. So they're going to maybe start an inning with a runner on first and third. And it's going to look the closest thing to baseball since we've had with this team since March. They will be streaming it live. So you will be able to watch baseball today. 1-3 is when this is scheduled to go down. Again, it's a situational scrimmage. They're doing 5 innings. And they're going to just run through situations and see what happens. And you can watch it. Facebook.com/Brewers, Brewers.com. We'll be sure to get you those links on our appropriate sites, 1057FMTheFan.com, and all of our social media. But that's cool. You can watch some baseball today, or at least something that looks very similar to it, as the Brewers are still practicing as scheduled. I know some of these other teams have been having problems with testing. And either postponing practices or delaying them for a while. But so far, every Brewer that has talked, it says it's gone pretty smoothly. I think the biggest thing they need is when you do a test, you got to get the results back as soon as possible, because you don't want to test, go practice, and then find out 2 days later 3 guys had it. And then, well, now a lot more than 3 have it because you were practicing on close quarters. But they're doing everything during these practices that they can to stay distant. They're not letting guys gather in groups. They're doing meetings, the Brewers are, in like the first, like the section where you sit behind the dugout. That the players are all sitting differently. They are eating their food, their lunch, you know, on the first base side where there's that big like bar in the middle and there's the little taco shops and stuff. That's, they've got tables spread out and that's where they're eating. So they are doing everything they can to stay distant and all positive things. I mean, every day there's like 2 or 3 players that talk, and I listen, and I'm thinking somebody say something that I can just gleam onto and blow up and make it a big deal when it's really not. Someone say something, but none of them are doing that. The Brewers doing a very good job, at least according to their players, about how they are managing things. A couple of weeks ago, this was some really captivating radio, Sam. You missed it. A couple of weeks ago, Horvat and I filled out a survey on the air. It was awesome. We filled out a survey on the air. And it was gripping. And it really was exciting. Well, today, I will be reading you some of the results of that survey.
Is this going to be fun, entertaining?
And knowledgeable.
There you go.
Don't forget. We took a survey, The Athletic put this out, and we wanted to see where people fell with what we felt. Who do you blame for the labor strife between the players and the owners? I said the owners. Would you say the owners? Players? Both?
I don't know.
You go players?
I'd go owners.
76% of fans said owners. How confident are you in Rob Manfred? I said not at all confident. 38% of fans say they have no confidence whatsoever in Rob Manfred. He comes out on Dan Patrick's show last week and said the plan all along was to play 60 games. Well, then what was the bet? What was the negotiations
for? Right, you wasted all of our time. We could have been playing baseball July 4th.
Yeah, why were you accusing the players of negotiating in bad faith if you never intended to play more than 60 games?
I was having such a good day, and then you brought his name up, and now my blood is boiling. If you follow me on Twitter, you know I hate Rob Manfred with a passion.
You hate this guy. How have the last several months affected your fandom?
Well, I mean, I'm happy that baseball, you know, I'll watch this Brewers simulated game like it's a full nine innings.
Oh, I'm watching it too. 1 o'clock, Facebook.
Right. It's just that, you know, it sucks that baseball could be doing better, marketing its players, making everything more available, not charging people $60 to watch a 60-game schedule.
54% of fans surveyed said, my feelings about baseball haven't changed at all. About 45% say they actually like baseball less. There's about 2% of people that somehow like baseball more. So, hey, if no games and labor strife is for you, baseball is the sport of the next decade. Nothing, no better way to reach the millennials that you're trying to target than arguing about money publicly.
They're going to have a blast after next season.
Will the World Series championship be legitimate? 66% say yes.
Rob Manfred says no.
Rob Manfred says no to every situation. I think it will be. See, the problem, and this is with the NBA too, although the NBA is going to be close to a full season. The problem is when you compare it to other champions. Like the Brewers, if they win a World Series this year, it won't be like what it would have been like in 2018 when they got a game away. Had they won a World Series that year, they won a World Series similar to how every other baseball champion has won it. They played 162 games and then had to go through a playoffs. But things have changed over the years. The playoffs have been added. I mean, a few years ago, the Brewers wouldn't have made the playoffs, or the Nationals wouldn't have made the playoffs. And then they won a one-game wild card, and then they won the World Series. The Brewers teams, there were some really good Brewers teams in the 80s and the 90s that if there was the wild card, early 90s, of course, if there was a wild card, they would have made the playoffs. They won 92 games in 92, and they didn't make the playoffs because only two teams did. The Brewers were in a 7-team American League East, and they took second with 92 wins, but the Blue Jays had more wins than them.
No, yeah. I thought this was interesting. A couple days ago, Jacob DeGrom said, you know, if he won Cy Young in this season, it wouldn't feel the same because he'd only be making, what, around 12 starts. But if he won the World Series, he said it would still feel the same.
Yeah, with the Cy Young, and that's why if you're putting bets on that, you might go with a reliever.
Yeah.
If there's ever going to be a year that Josh Hader wins it or Corey Knable, you know, this could be a year for that. Yeah, and if someone bets 400, you know, it doesn't count. I mean, it counts, but it doesn't count.
But like in the NBA, I feel like the awards are still valid because you can't ignore the first half of the season. They put so much into the season already that the awards have to be given out.
You could name the MVP award and not play another game this season. It's very legitimate.
But like in baseball, if Yelich wins MVP again, I'm going to be happy, obviously. But it's going to feel a little weird knowing that it was only 60 games and he hit probably like, what, 25 home runs or something?
I think the over under the last I saw for the home run leader is only 19 and a half.
Man, that would be, that'd feel weird. Or if you got like a triple crown or something.
Yeah.
That'd be something.
Yeah. I don't know. And then you've got the different with the, you've got DH and you've got the extra innings. So it depends. Are you comparing it to champions of the past? Because if the Brewers won the World Series this year, it would be different than how they would have won it any other year. But it wouldn't be different in terms of who they're doing it against. There are 30 teams and they're all trying to do the same thing and they've all got, for the most part, the same ability to do it. They've got to deal with obstacles that World Series champions of the past didn't have to deal with, but that's always been that way. It's just, this is the way that baseball is this year. So I absolutely think the World Series is legitimate. If you compare it to other teams, it's going to be very hard to do that. And baseball loves to compare to other years more than anybody. I still think the World Series legitimacy is there. Regarding fantasy baseball this season, this one's interesting. Kevin Payne's going to join us tomorrow, rotowire.com. I'm in four leagues. No, nobody wants to play anymore. One league already drafted and people want out. 65% of people say, I never play, I'm not going to play. 21% say, I usually play, I'll still play. 10% say, I usually play, but I won't play. Yeah, it's going to be different. How likely are you to watch your favorite team? 80% say they'll still watch it. So for the most part, people, it's different. They know that, but they're going to watch it. They also let you write in one question. What change would you like to see the most in baseball? A number of people suggested earlier start times for postseason games. If baseball wants younger fans, they have to make it possible for younger fans to want games. Get rid of Rob Manfred, please, for the love of God. Get someone in charge who loves the game. Many fans also advocated for a more fun atmosphere on the field, like the bat flips and the KBO. I think Horvat and I wrote in boobs. I think we just wrote boobs.
I mean, yeah, that'd be entertaining. We saw that in the Houston Astros.
Yeah, and you got to understand, filling out a survey is a lot of work. And by the time we were at the end, it was almost like we were being asked to do an essay question. So we just wrote 80085. And put boobs in there and ran off for the day. The schedule thing, I'm glad that somebody brought that up because I look at this Major League Baseball schedule, and I don't know if you guys have any problems with it. You can chime in 414-799-1250. You can reach us at 105.7 FM, The Fan, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And again, Brewers fans, you will be able to see your team playing baseball. A version of it, at least. They're doing a five-inning scrimmage, a situational scrimmage. So they're going to start with like a runner on second and two outs or whatever. They're going to run through some situations, but they will stream that live. So you can't be at the park, but they're going to stream that live. And they will be doing that at Brewers.com and on their Facebook page. That's about 1 o'clock today. So excited to see that again around 1 o'clock today. As for the schedule, when the schedule first comes out, and I had a good chat with this yesterday with Bill on his show, and you know, we're looking at it, and he's like, you know, you look at one of these things, and they only have one off day for like a 30-game stretch in August. Yeah, you know, that's something to look at. It's weird. Then I'm looking at the schedule a little bit more, and I'm wondering, why is the schedule so similar to a normal schedule? A normal schedule. Think of a baseball schedule in a 162-game season. How does it usually go down? You have a series Friday through Sunday. Sometimes you have a series Thursday through Sunday. And then you have a midweek series Monday through Wednesday or Monday through Thursday. There's a getaway day, but there's a series during the week, and there's a series on the weekend. You typically play 3 or 4-game series. Sometimes if you're going to play an interleague team like the White Sox, you'll play them 2 here, 2 there. Or the Blue Jays, 2 here, 2 there. All right, you play them 4 times. That's the way the schedule in baseball is. So baseball had to come up with a 60-game schedule. So what did they do? They used pretty much the same sort of system. The Brewers are going to start with 3 on the road against the Cubs and then play 3 against Pittsburgh on the road, have an off day, have 3 at home against the Cardinals, 2 at home against the White Sox, then go down to Chicago for 2, and then come back and play Cincinnati for 3. All right, well, you know, baseball did this because they don't want you to travel far, so you're only playing the teams in your division and your corresponding division. By now, you know that the Brewers are only playing NL Central and AL Central teams. All right, makes sense, fair enough. But even in the first couple of weeks, I read you the schedule. Why do the Brewers play 4 games at home before they go play 2 in Chicago and then come right back to home? Why, if you're going to play the White Sox, are you playing them 2 at home, 2 on the road? I'm thinking with the American League teams, play a team 4 times all in their park. Who says you need to play at either park? And the Brewers, they play the Tigers, but they never play the Tigers at home. They're on the road just for a couple. And they play the Indians, but they're on the road just for a couple. So, or the Tigers are at home for 2, and then they go there for 2. But the Indians, the Brewers are only on the road for. Where are the play 5-game schedules? If you play the Cubs 10 times, you don't need to play them 3 times. That's a whole nother trip. Make 2 trips. Cubs come here once for 5 games. You go there once for 5 games. It eliminates a whole trip of travel because at home, I think it's going to be easy for these guys to go to the ballpark, go home, have groceries delivered, you know, be with their family. On the road, they're pretty much, you're going to go, you're not going to be able to go anywhere. You're going to have to sit in your hotel room. But then you're traveling, you're maybe in an Uber or the plane or however you get there, there's more, I guess, access for you to pick up something than there would be at home. So just eliminate trips in general. It just seems like when I look at this baseball schedule, and it's weird, you look at it right away, why do the Brewers play the Cubs 7 times on the road and only 3 times at home? I don't think that matters as much as it does. There's 3 series between the two teams when I really think there only needs to be 2. So that I have a hard time trying to grasp. I don't think baseball cared enough to put enough work into really eliminating travel. They did the division thing and thought, fine, that's good. They didn't do any other effort to try to really make sure, if we don't want this thing to infiltrate our league, let's make sure that we schedule it in the appropriate way. They just used whatever software they used, printed out a schedule, got it out, and they're going to go from there. So I think they could have done a better job. And then somebody brought up in that survey, where are the day games? I know school's planning to start some way, some form. We don't really know what it's going to look like in September. But in the month of August, there could be more day games. There's like a week that the Brewers don't play a day game at all. Play a day game. Play more day games. They're going to have the scrimmage today. At least kids can watch the scrimmage. You stay up for a 7 o'clock game. When's your kid go to bed? 8:30? Depending how old he is, you're going to have him watch 3 innings and then what, tape the game and watch it with him the next day? That's no fun. You want to stay up, you want to watch the game, so put the game on in the day when the kids can actually watch the game. One of the big reasons I became such a big baseball fan was because there were games on during the day and they were on TV. And yes, it was the Chicago Cubs at a time when the Cubs were not in the same league as the Brewers. I watched a ton of Cubs baseball because there was baseball on during the day. During the summer, when I'm 10 years old, when I don't have school, when I'm not in the workforce, when I don't have friends, I didn't need to say that part, but I'm at home watching baseball, and I love these guys. So then I go buy a pack of cards, and I learn more about them, and I'm looking up stats. I did that on my own. Nobody watched it with me. I did that on my own, and I realized that I loved it. Yeah, I can watch cartoons all day, but baseball's on. So I think you're not giving kids that opportunity. This would be the prime year to do that if you're ever going to do it, and they are not. And I do think that is a mistake on baseball. We'll hear from Keston here coming up a little bit later in the show. You guys are welcome to chime in with your thoughts at any time. Always is the case. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. And we also want to talk a little Milwaukee Bucks as we are recapping the season, how they got to this point. They're coming into the Disney bubble 53-12. But how did they get there? We've been recapping some of these games. We completely forgot about them. One thing that we didn't forget about was a little trip they took to Paris in January.
Giannis, how about that? What an unbelievable play.
The countdown to the Bucks' return back to the championship.
So how is the French coming?
I'm getting it. You know, je m'appelle Jean, comment tu t'appelles? Oui, 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 comme ci, comme ça, ooh la la.
I got all of that.
Hey, it's more than most of us know. Je m'appelle Bart Winkler, and we continue the Bucks recap. On the 24th of January, the Bucks played in the night, although we watched the game in the day. It was in Paris, first ever regular season game in Paris. Giannis, obviously from Europe, with his Greek culture and his Greek background. 30 points, 16 boards, 6 assists. It was him putting on a show that night. And in Europe, you might as well do a Euro step.
Giannis goes to the left hand, back to the double grabber in the header.
Brings it back left at the very last moment.
Bucks win 116-103. They improve to 40-6 on the season. Marvin Williams, by the way, 18 points for the Hornets in this game, 6 boards. Now, of course, a Milwaukee Buck. 116-103, Bucks get the victory and put their stamp, as they have been with Giannis, on Europe.
How big is the NBA out here?
It's big. It's really big, and people don't realize how big is it. And, a lot of people in Europe love basketball. They don't have a chance to watch basketball. Not a basketball game, an NBA game. And not just the NBA bringing us out here and giving us the opportunity to showcase our talent in front of them. That's a good feeling for us and a good feeling for them for sure.
That game again back in January. That was a fun week because you want to talk about day games. The Bucks played Monday on Martin Luther King Day. I think it was a 4 o'clock start, and then this Paris game was about a 2 o'clock start our time. So that was fun, a little day basketball. I like that. And you'll see some day basketball with the NBA. Now they're putting a lot of games in the same place so they don't have 15 ballparks to use each and every day. But you're going to see day basketball, and I think that's going to go a long way. The hockey situation, you're going to see day hockey. Look, I know a lot of you guys work during the day, and it's harder when there's a day game because you can't watch it because you're at work, so you'd rather have a night game. But over 162-game season, I mean, we don't watch every single game start to finish. I do, of course, and so does Sam. Never misses one. One time I even quit a job in lacrosse to come back to be in Milwaukee when they made the playoffs in 2008. They also didn't like me at that job, so it was easy to quit. And they kind of forced me. But I wanted to watch the Brewers play, and I wanted to go.
Right.
So I bought a sleeve of tickets, and then they got beat in the first series. Man. It was the Phillies series, 2008. They won on a Saturday night. Dave Bush was on fire. He struck out the side. And then Sunday, they had to give away thundersticks because the whole park was hungover. Sunday, that stadium reeked of hangover. And everybody knew it because the Brewers won a playoff game for the first time in 26 years. And then that Sunday game, it was just, oh my God, everyone smelled. Everyone was like defeated. And so they gave out thundersticks and went, yeah, all right, we got something to do. And then I remember they lost that game because then they lost the series. So my buddy and I, we were trying to be on TV. We want, you know, after games, they show dejected fans that haven't left yet. So we were like sitting, we stayed for like a half hour just doing different like poses of dejection.
Trying to get the angle right so hopefully the camera picks you up.
Yeah. Never got on TV. I think there was a game right after that they quickly switched to and got away from that. And then the Phillies went on to beat the Rays in the World Series in 2008. But when it comes to the Milwaukee Bucks and the NBA, there's going to be day games. In hockey, there's going to be day games. I wish there was more day games in baseball. I was kind of surprised that there wasn't. The Bucks, for the most part, they play a lot of their games yet at night, or at least in the like early evening. They're going to, you know, they're one of the best teams in the league, so they're going to be given the better spots when it comes to television. But there are some games. I think there's a game against the Nets, or whatever version of the Nets are going to show up, that starts at noon. And there might be a 4 o'clock game against the Wizards or somebody. So it's going to be a little bit different, but there will be day basketball, at least. If it's not the Bucks, there'll still be other games to watch. And again, I know a lot of you guys are at work during the day, on your way to work right now, or streaming on the radio.com app. As somebody who is able to watch these games during the day, I got a little personal agenda here. I want to watch as much day games as possible. Yesterday, by 5 o'clock, I watched 2 basketball games and 2 soccer games. And then 5 o'clock, I'm done watching sports for the day. You know, it's like living on the West Coast. I kind of liked it. Brook Lopez talking to the media yesterday. He'll be going down with this team to Disney, of course, and that will be tomorrow. Team should be practicing at their facility today, but they're not because the facility shut down on Sunday, the practice facility did, because of a positive test of COVID-19. Now, I don't know who it was. Maybe you guys have heard something. I've been scouring the web. I'm as curious as anybody. The Bucks have been pretty tight-lipped on it. I don't even know if it was a player, and I don't know who it was. Coach Budenholzer also talked yesterday, said the important thing is that we are supportive of this person and give – he didn't even say him. So who knows who it is? It could have been Suki Hobson or whatever her name is. I'm just throwing up names, but it could have been a woman. We don't know. They didn't give you any indication who if it was, whether it was a player or coach – or whoever. But Brook Lopez says, yeah, we had to shut it down for a few days. It's really not going to hurt us that much.
We were fortunate in that the timing with the positive test, it kind of lined up to where we were, I guess, lowering the intensity level of our workouts leading up to leaving for Orlando. We had a couple off days lined up, you know. We had days where we'd come in, do maybe one or two days where he'd come in, get an individual workout in, but it was a bit of a lighter load leading up to Orlando. So it did work out well in that regard.
Brook Lopez speaking yesterday, bringing that to you here. We're also going to hear from Keston Hira, and one big change for hitters this year that you maybe don't even think about until it gets brought up, but there's going to be a big change for hitters coming up in Major League Baseball. We'll hear from Keston and a little bit from Brock Holt coming up here later in the hour, and you guys can chime in as we go through those. 799-1250. So, Brook Lopez, all right, how does the team feel? You're leaving for Orlando tomorrow. Have you guys taken care of the protocols? Are you guys comfortable? What's the situation like with you?
I think everyone feels pretty comfortable with the way we've handled everything, and we'd had good workouts for the past couple of weeks, you know, great individual workouts, obviously following all the rules. And I think guys are pretty comfortable and pretty ready to get going to Orlando now.
Once you get down to the bubble, the line that Adam Silver had a couple of weeks ago was they'll be safer here than they will be if we weren't doing this. And I do think that is true. The big issue for him, and he admitted this publicly, is if guys come in with coronavirus, well, then it's going to spread here because they're all here. So we got to make sure that we do the testing, we continue to do the testing, and we keep it out. And guys have to, you know, we're not going to like have a watchman on a tower with a spotlight to make sure these guys don't leave, but they've got to know that we're doing this and we don't want COVID-19 to penetrate at all. Now, I am watching Major League Soccer very intently. They're playing at Disney too, and a team dropped out. Team dropped out, and the schedules had to be changed already because teams have it. Another team may be dismissed, and you don't want to see the same thing happen in the NBA. But if you looked at any of the NBA's 113-page booklet, the protocols, even if you didn't look at it, the fact that it's 113 pages, the NBA, I have no doubt that they did everything possible. I think the MLS, I think they just said, go there and play. The NBA, 113 pages, well-thought-out protocols, the timing, the structure, the schedule, the meals, I think all thought out very well. And Brook Lopez confident in the association to keep them safe.
I'm pretty confident in everything that the NBA and our teams have been doing. And, you know, I'm definitely trying to look optimistically. You know, I think each and every person has been doing what they can on their own to control their variables, to put themselves in the best situation to keep everyone as safe as possible. You know, and I think obviously there were always a few positive cases, unfortunately. Fortunately, everyone's pretty safe, even considering those. And I think once we get down there, kind of get settled more and more, obviously, again, following guidelines, we'll have this thing under control, we'll be in a safe environment, and you know, we'll go from there.
Brook Lopez again chatting yesterday with the media, and the Bucks are on their way down to Orlando tomorrow, and then once they get down there, it's going to be up to everybody. You gotta stay healthy, obviously, if you want to win a championship, from the knee and shoulder and foot and ankle and all the normal ways, but you also can't contract the virus, otherwise you're going to miss some time, and they know that that's a big part in winning a title in 2020.
We're pretty confident in the way that the bubble situation is going to work. It obviously takes a lot of accountability and responsibility from each player and each staff member. But I think everyone has that understanding that's going down there. We all want to see the season go forward. We all want to continue to participate and compete. And I think everyone understands what they have to do to keep everyone safe, you know, because that's the most important thing. We got to go down there. We got to be able to keep our brotherhood safe, keep our families safe. And, you know, we don't want to do anything to put people in danger.
What a torture it is for the Lopez brothers. They're going to be at Disney, their favorite place in the world. Where I think they go there in between off days, even if the Bucks are at home. They find a way to go to Disney. And they're going to be at Disney for 3 months. And they're not supposed to ride one ride or go to one restaurant. They are quarantined in the bubble. It's very ironic and almost torturous in a way. Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz is here on The Fan, 105.7 FM, The Fan. We will hear from Keston Hira, a big adjustment that hitters have to make in terms of a very useful tool that they'll no longer have this season because of the coronavirus concerns. That coming up next, 105.7 FM, The Fan. This is the Bart Winkler Show. FM, The Fan, Bart Winkler, Sam Schmitz, Horvat back next week. Tomorrow, our weekly installment of trivia, which will feature my always choking self, Evan Heffelfinger, and Sam Schmitz, who is undefeated in the Cameo Challenge, 8 o'clock tomorrow. It will be your first foray into it. Any planning tonight? Are you going to go home like Evan does and read Football Reference for 3 hours, or are you just going to go on with your daily life and not care?
Well, since I'm going to be working till like 3 o'clock here today, I'm probably going to just go right to bed.
Oh yeah, afterwards. So a little double shift.
Yeah.
In radio terms, a double shift equals one real shift.
Yeah, but you know, you feel it though.
Oh yeah, 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 right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I couldn't do it once it's 10 o'clock. I couldn't do another minute of radio. Like, if for some reason Bill got struck by lightning for the 9th time, there is no way I could fill in for him today. I would just be blubbery mess. So, yeah, because a double, 4 hours is a shift. 2 shifts, 8. That's a single for you. But you do feel it. Again, we ain't digging ditches here. But Sam's right. You do feel it. A couple of the Brewers infielders talking yesterday, and it's really interesting to hear from these guys. Because we're not going to get a lot of chances to hear from the players this year. You know, we're going to hear from them whenever we can. In the past, you know, we do our on-deck show and we go down to the locker room and, you know, we talk to a guy and then we bring him to you. So you learn a bit more about these guys, and the newspaper guys do it too. And, you know, Todd Rosiak's always been great with his Sunday Q&A columns, kind of talking baseball, but then off the beaten path with some of these guys. That's always a good installment in the Sunday Journal Sentinel. Adam McKelvey. You know, he does a wonderful job bringing you this, but you know the stories that you want to uncover, they're not going to be there as much because that access is gone. And this is not a media complaint, certainly not. I don't mind not going in the locker room ever again. If you haven't had the experience, to go in the Brewers locker room is fun because it's cool to see where they like are. But to go in there when you want to ask a guy a couple of questions, it does feel like a meat market. It feels like you're just standing there and. None of you know, the players look at me and they're not like, I don't want this guy to come over to me. And then I start to approach them and then they pull out their phone or some of these guys, like Chassin always had he had his own TV in his locker. So he would always be playing Fortnite or Warzone or whatever it is that I'm out of touch with. I don't know the latest. So that part's going to be gone. So when these guys do talk, you know, I do think that it's important that we hear them. And Brock Holt and Keston Hira, two guys talking yesterday. Brock Holt was the one that, if anybody, made a little bit of news because he said he really didn't have a choice to play or not. He signed a one-year deal for $2.5 million to come play with the Brewers. One-year deal. He's 32 years old. Utility guy. Long time with the Red Sox. All right, they moved on from him. And so he signed a one-year $2.5 million deal. $2.5 million, that's pretty good. It's prorated now this year, of course, because you're only getting paid for the 60 games that you play. And Brock Holt, he put an Instagram post the other day about, you know, it's going to be tough. He's got a kid at home, and then he's got a pregnant wife, and she's due in September. So do you leave them, first of all? And then, you know, do they come with you? And for him right now, that's not the situation. They said they had no choice but for him to come play and to keep the family at home.
I'm not really in the position to be able to opt out of a season. You know, I feel like if I didn't play this year, I would my baseball career would be over. You know, so you know, I feel like you know, if I didn't play, it'd be hard for me to find a job next year.
So this guy, he sees his career coming to an end if he doesn't play. He wants to stay home. He doesn't play. That's a lot of money he misses out on. And then is he just going to be forgotten about? Yeah, you know, he talks to, like, to stay in touch. So for 3 months, he's going to be away from his family. He's going to FaceTime his kids. You know that's not the same if you have kids. You know it's not the same. And for $1 million, would you be away from your family for 3 months? Sure. It's still going to, I mean, it's so tough. As I said earlier, I don't even like being away from my kid during the show. it's hard. You know, I'm a new dad. It's going to be a year soon. It's just, it's hard. FaceTime, not anywhere near the real thing. One guy who I'd like to see more of, too, up close is Rick. Rick from Oshkosh. Buddy, there's an echo. What's
hey,
up?
How you guys doing this morning? Hey, I got a question for you.
Anything.
About locker rooms, even basketball and baseball and stuff like that.
Yeah, Rick. Yeah.
Does it stink like a meat market?
Does it stink? Are you trying your hand at humor today?
Well, no, I'm actually listening to you guys on the radio. And the second thing is, why play just games? Why not do the day-night doubleheaders? Get a more realistic approach to someone that a team. Okay, you could have one of the worst teams in baseball go 45-15.
Yeah, but that worst probably team. Won't happen.
I know, but San Diego.
Padres are good now.
Well,
Pirates suck.
Pirates. I mean, you know, your starting pitchers are what? They're like three innings at the most, the holes, right?
Yeah, I don't think these guys are going to pitch that far into games.
And secondly, they're not. And would you, at this point in time, try to make a deal between now and August 31st and say goodbye to Josh Harris?
No, I don't think there's going to be any trades at all. How can you trade some guy this year? You can't.
Well, I know, when did his contract come up?
Oh, he's still under contract for a couple of years. That's why they wanted him. He's got long-term control.
Yeah, but
and he keeps wanting millions of dollars in arbitration, the Brewers are running him into the ground.
Until he develops another pitch and stop putting him in a 7th, 8th, and then he's not he was comfortable when he wasn't a closer.
Rick, I'm going to take you away from Josh Hader a minute because I want to tell you something I am worried about. I'm worried about, so let's say the season goes underway and it's just 60 games. We saw in soccer a team drop out. We saw
okay.
We saw in the NBA, we saw like nobody's playing if you're on the Wizards or Nets. Bradley Beal's out. So what if the teams are bad and then at the end of the season they say, you know, there's no reason for us to be here. We're not going to play. Last week of the season, Brewers have the Reds and the Cardinals. But what if a team, you know, that's in contention with them has, like, the Pirates, and they just have a bunch of guys go home? Or even say, yeah, we don't want to play, just forfeit our games. That is a very real possibility.
Why bother finishing the season?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, if you're 15-40, why play the last 5 games?
It should be forfeit, just what they should do. The ownership should still pay players in both leagues, but every single penny they get goes to research for vaccination. They get their money, but then it gets turned over.
I agree. I agree with everything you said. Let's play day-night doubleheaders, all money to research.
And not play the season. And not play. Period. Not play basketball, not play baseball. Now, you guys don't talk much about, I haven't been listening too much.
No.
I can't get you. Wisconsin Badgers.
Oh, what about them?
How bad are they? How good are they?
The football team?
Yeah, Wisconsin Badgers football team.
They'll be like a preseason top 15. A lot of people are high on them.
Quarterback? I don't even know who's replaced Jonathan Taylor. I don't know who's replacing. You know, they lost a lot of players, right?
Well, Jack Cohn's still your quarterback, but Graham Mertz is going to be a sophomore.
Okay.
He's their big recruit from a couple of years ago.
What about defense? I mean, they lost a lot, didn't they?
They did, but, you know, it's college, that happens.
I know. But what about the running back situation?
Hey, do you have any kids? Do you have kids?
No, I don't. I turned 40 and never got married.
That's a bummer.
So, never found the right woman that would.
You know, they say that there's a soulmate for everybody, but how do you know?
I don't change. I don't change for no human being.
Don't change for anybody.
Anybody except for when I have to change to improve myself as a person.
Yeah, change for you.
And they don't like it, tough.
Yeah, more people need to take that approach.
Okay, I mean, I try to improve and try to do the best I can.
Yeah.
You know, at work. And people not 60 years old, they got to have some kind of concessions for people that still want to work.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And okay, but defensive badges. Wide receivers, I don't know who's.
How about this? We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Sound good?
How can I? I had an app for you, but I can't. It won't come in.
The app is radio.com.
At radio.com?
An app on your phone. Do you have a phone that can download apps?
Yeah, but see, I have a laptop, MacBook.
Oh, then go to 1057fmthefan.com.
105.7fmthefan.
Oh, yeah, Mert's got the red shirt, so he's technically still a freshman. Thank you, Greg.
Well, I just wondered, who was the running back that Terry picked?
All right, we'll talk about that tomorrow, bud, okay?
All right, okay, have a nice weekend.
Radio to L, you too, Rick.
Okay, God bless.
God bless you. Radio.com, 1057, FMTheFan.com, Rick in Oshkosh. Joining the program. I think I had Rick on longer than I had Sam Monson on a couple of hours ago. But as you can tell there, we are friends. And I like to talk to my friends. Brock Holt and Keston Hira. So this is interesting, and this is what I wanted to bring up before the break, is they are not going to be able to utilize the hitting software as much as they do. I'll tell you, when I have gone into the locker rooms, one of the things that I've seen is there's usually a station or a couple of them where they have computers and, you know, I'm there. If I'm in a locker room, it's 4 hours before a game and a guy is looking at video of every one of his pitches. And a lot of these guys do this because video has been a great tool, but they're not going to have as much access to those rooms, certainly not before or after the game, and then really during the game. And a lot of hitters do like to look at the video during the game to make adjustments on the pitcher, but they're not going to have that access. Both Keston Hira and Brock Holt were asked about that yesterday and how much that change will affect those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to affect people differently. I mean, I know some guys who they like to see every pitch, every swing. For me, it's not going to affect me too much. I don't really watch a whole lot of video. You know, I think I'm different than most guys in that regard. I like to go and see, you know, if I thought a pitch was a ball and it got called a strike, I'd like to go see like where it was just to make sure. Or if I, you know, hit a home run or something, I want to go watch it to pump myself up. But other than that, I don't really watch much video. But I know some guys who they, you know, that's part of their routine. They like to see it. It's going to be big for some guys. And, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, we're going to have to deal with. These are unprecedented times and things are, you know, everyone's going to be in the same situation. So you're going to have to do your work before, you know, pregame, postgame, and, you know, just go off a feel. I think this season's going to be more about just competing than anything. Obviously, no fans in the stands. I don't know how the adrenaline's going to be, you know, flowing through the body without people there. But I feel like it's just going to be more about competing in the box. You know, we're not going to have the amount of time that we normally have to get ready. So, you know, it's just once we start, it's just about, you know, doing the best you can to compete against the other guy. So I think that's going to be the fun part about it.
For me, I've always been, I'll look at video just to get an idea. But, you know, after every at-bat, every game, not just a brief, like, overview of look at everything. But, you know, I don't try to overanalyze anything. For me, you know, analyzing my swing is based off the feel. So, you know, if I'm feeling something that night or feeling something's off, I'll know that, you know, after that at-bat or after that swing versus going into, you know, the video room and saying, all right, what was wrong with my swing there? It's more of a feel. Understanding, you know, myself as a player, as my swing in general, and but yeah, you know, I know a lot of people, you know, they really enjoy looking at video, you know, not only of, you know, themselves, but you know, opposing pitchers, opposing players, so they can get data on how to approach them, whether they're a pitcher, you know, trying to pitch to hitters, or a catcher trying to, you know, understand, you know, what the weakness of the hitters are. I think, you know, overall, it'll definitely could impact some players. But I think at the end of the day, not everyone's pretty knowledgeable of what they're going to do in certain situations.
Brock Holt, the first voice you heard, Keston Hira the second. More on the Brewers and more from Hira in a moment. The news that we were waiting for today is official, and no surprise, since this news has been really reported for the last 3 months, but every time it was reported, they said, no, it's not official, but it is official now regarding the Ryder Cup. Breaking news on the Fan, brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Pod Friends. Go listen at radio.com/Dell. The Ryder Cup will be postponed. It was scheduled to take place at Whistling Straits the 22nd through the 27th in Kohler. It's been rescheduled for next year, September 21st and through the 26th of next year, still in Kohler. The President's Cup, which was supposed to take place at that time next year, will then be pushed back, it looks like, till 2022. But the thing with the Ryder Cup was, I mean, that's the golf event, England versus USA, and the fans go crazy. And, you know, every golf event's like, you know, you're supposed to do that. But at this one, for whatever reason, they let you go nuts. And it's very patriotic on both sides. You know, you get people coming over from Europe, and when you play in Europe, it's certainly home course advantage. And so to get this event was huge. The state of Wisconsin, man, whether it's the DNC or the NBA Finals, which we were assuming we would have, the Ryder Cup, this was just going to be a year where money was going to be funneling in from all over the world right into this town and right into the state. And that really hasn't happened. So good to see that at least this event should take place next year. And that's assuming, of course, that we're in a better spot by then. But you would think, you never know, but you would think that we should be. So the Ryder Cup, 43rd Ryder Cup, has been postponed until 2021. Some good news about sports you can watch today. The Brewers are doing a intra-squad scrimmage, a situational scrimmage. So they're doing 5 innings, and it's not really a game. There's not going to be a winner or loser. They're going to run through situations. So they'll say, all right, it's the first inning, but it's the bottom of the first, and there's a guy on third, and there's an out. And, you know, between plays, they might move guys around the bases. And so it's going to be something like baseball. It'll be the closest to baseball that we've seen probably since March, at least for the Brewers. But we will see some baseball. And they're not going to get a lot of opportunities to do this. Again, you got 45 guys in camp right now, and the roster is going to be about 30. And so you're going to have to find ways to have situational scrimmages. Some of these teams, like the Mets and the Yankees, they can play each other because they're in the same city. The Cubs and White Sox are going to play a couple of exhibition games. The Brewers only have one scheduled, and that's against the White Sox because they'll start the season against the Cubs. So before that, they're going to play the White Sox. Again, more travel that maybe, you know, they could try to limit, but they're at least in Chicago, so you can give it a whirl. But between those games and the scrimmages that the Brewers do take part in, and then things like today, if you're a guy like Keston Hira, you're only going to get about 25 true at-bats from now until when the season starts. 25 at-bats. Is that going to be enough to be ready for when the season starts, Keston Hira, yesterday?
No, I think that will be enough. I think the big thing is just getting the consistency, being able to see it every single day and to get feedback from, you know, not only yourself, but, you know, other players as well. Just kind of get your eyes back into the game where you feel like you're game ready. You know, once spring training started, I think it took about a couple weeks for me to get into it, and that was probably around, you know, 20 at bats or so. So, you know, I think, you know, that's a good. I think it's a fair, you know, amount of at bats to say, you know, be prepared. Obviously, you'd want more, but at the end of the day, you know, you got to work with what you got.
Keston Hira, who will be in action again today, the situational scrimmage, it is available to watch, Brewers.com and their Facebook page. The thing with him is he was ready. Even when spring got canceled, he was ready for the season to start. And now you have to go through 3 months of, you know, trying to practice, do whatever you can. Now you get back, you're facing live pitching right away, so that was good. Hader and Woodruff, those guys, the first day they came back, Hader and Woodruff were a couple of guys that were throwing. Knievel's thrown, so they're facing him. But you're facing, like, pitching coaches. All these players are scattered around the country trying to call anybody they knew. Hey, my old pitching coach from high school, can you throw me BP? So he throws him BP. And then they show up at camp, and then boom, there's Woody. And boom, there's Josh Hader. Now, Hira, he doesn't think that he's going to need too many bats to get ready. Because when the season got postponed, we'll say, he says he already was ready. And so he is just eager to get started.
Right before spring training got canceled, I was starting to feel really good. I was in a place where, I was excited to get the season started. I was like, all right, season, you can start now. Body is feeling good. Swing is feeling good. Arm is feeling good. Everything, on that checklist, was kind of checked off, and, all that was left was season. So, and I know that was the case for a lot of players as well. Not only on our team, but, it's just in general in the league. It's different. No one has ever done this before where, you kind of ramp things up and then you just get shut down and then, not know when, things are going to start back up. It was definitely different at first. And, I always say it's probably a lot more different for a lot of the veteran players and all that, where they've had, numerous amount of, full seasons, just being able to, stop, right when spring is about to finish and, put the season on halt. I know a lot of the guys, really enjoyed the time with their family and, their kids. And, I know that was a huge plus for them as well.
Keston Hira, who, he got sent down last year for a while. He's never had a full season in the big leagues at this point. He's eager to do that. This year won't be that, but when he has been in the minors, he's experienced that extra inning rule. We're now in the 10th inning. Both teams start with a guy on second. His experiences with that.
Yeah, at first, I was very unsure about it. Obviously, it's harder to win ball games, especially if you're the away team, I believe. So I think, in that situation where, you have a runner on second base with no outs, it's always, if you're the away team, right, do you try to just play it safe to get a, you pretty much have to get a run, across on that top of the inning because, if you don't, the home team just bunt them over and then get them in. So it's definitely, a lot of strategies involved, but then it kind of grew on me, especially when, games got longer and, you have quick turnarounds the next day and limited amount of pitching, limited amount of arms and position players. So I think, last year, as you can tell, the Brewers, we had a lot of extra inning games. I went pretty long and it's kind of tough on the pitcher, kind of tough on the position player. So it'll be interesting. I still have mixed feelings about it. There's times where I'm like, all right, I feel like we really didn't have much of an opportunity on games we've lost because of that. But, at the same time, it definitely helps with the pace of play and, the longevity of, pitchers and position players.
Keston Hira chatting with the media yesterday as these guys continue to try to get to the ballpark and do it in a healthy way. Brewers have that situational scrimmage on their Facebook page today at 1. The latest on the saliva test, the positives are going down. So they did the initial test, and 1.8% of the league, players and staff, had coronavirus. They did the test again, and it's down to 0.5. So to see those numbers go down, hopefully they can eliminate it, but then still not contract it away from the stadium. It's going to be tough. There's a lot of challenges for these guys, definitely on the field and then certainly away. Bart Winkler, we'll be back tomorrow at 6, talk some fantasy baseball, do some trivia. Bill Michaels up next, 10 to 2 on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.